Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Survivor Girl podcast. My name is Alice, aka the Survivor Girl. And today I want to welcome the beautiful and talented Rhonda. Rhonda, welcome to the show.
Thank you so, so much.
You guys, Rhonda is a friend of a friend. I've heard her amazing, incredible, unbelievable story. And I had to have her on the podcast because you guys have got to hear this story for yourself. So Rhonda, if you are ready, let's get started.
I am ready. Hey, breast friends.
So first of all, let's go back to the beginning. What led you initially to the doc? What was going on that had you concerned?
Okay, I was in the shower and I was soaping up, I think, my right breast. And I was like, oh, this is new. What is this? So I think immediately I was kind of like, okay, because I think a few months before, a girl I was really close to had just passed away from breast cancer. So I scheduled my appointment immediately. At the time, I did not have health insurance. I hadn't had health insurance since, I think, 2014. I was a self-pay person, meaning I had made arrangements with all of my doctors to pay them out of pocket due to Obamacare. By me having a decent income but no children, it weighed more on me to carry monthly insurance as opposed to just making sure that I made all of my annual appointments. So I went and self-paid for mine. I did a whole, when you go to the GYN, they do all their little tests. And then when we got to the breast, the lady said, I'm going to write you a prescription. How old are you? She was like, that if it's a lump in your breast and it's kind of movable, then we could say that's a cyst. But this feels a little hard, so I want to send you for additional testing. So I had just turned 40. This was my absolute first mammogram, and it all went to hell.
So you are sent to get more testing, all of that. When you get the results back from the test, what type of cancer did they end up diagnosing you with?
I was diagnosed with stage 0 invasive ductal carcinoma. And that was officially in November. Now I went for my original GYN appointment in August. My aunt died September the 6th. My grandmother died September the 30th. It was maybe the 9th and the 30th. Because those two events were catastrophic, they actually kept me in Baltimore and away from my doctors here in Miami for an extended period of time. So as far as biopsies and stuff, I couldn't get that. I got my regular mammogram and the ultrasounds done, but I didn't get a biopsy done until October. It was confirmed that it was breast cancer on November the 10th, stage 0.
So now you have your diagnosis. What was the process of treatment and how soon did you begin after you received your diagnosis?
Well, because I was a 0 going into it, I actually did everything in reverse. I think a lot of women, when they end up getting their lump, they go to a medical oncologist. I actually went to a surgical oncologist first, again, because I didn't have health insurance. So I'm literally Googling and finding my way as I go along. I love my surgical oncologist. I think he is amazing. He's not only a doctor, but an attorney as well. And he, when I got in his office, he was like, Rhonda, you know, right now you're stage 0. You have the option of doing a lumpectomy or a double mastectomy. Thinking it was just one spot, I was like, well, listen, I love these boobs. You don't even understand. These are mine. They look at them. They're amazing. Maybe you just do a little lumpectomy. And in my mind, I think that that's where people start when it comes to breast cancer. It's always, oh, we can do a little this. We can do a little that. And then all your littles turn into bigs. So my little lumpectomy actually turned into a double mastectomy on March the 9th of last year. Leading up to then, we knew that I had 3 spots in one breast. So what really just started out in the milk ducts, by the time I did my ultrasound, I think in like January, I had 3 spots in the same breast, nothing in the other breast. So he was like, you don't really want to do 3 lumpectomies. And because I was so afraid at how fast this whole thing was moving, I was like, no, you can just take them off and we'll talk about doing a double mastectomy with reconstruction. So that's what we opted for. So we did the reconstruction. I did silicone implants, but in the process, I started out with expanders placed in. During the surgery, they took a piece of my lymph nodes. They took out 3 lymph nodes. Only one had like 0.5 millimeters of cancer in it. It was a really, really small amount. So they were more secure in saying, okay, we don't take any more lymph nodes, but you are going to have to do chemo. And I started chemo in May of last year and rung the bell in September.
So including surgery and everything you've been through, how long has your full treatment process been?
Oh, I'm still in treatment. So I'm not a HER person where, you know, you're HER2 positive. No, I am in treatment as far as the continuing medications. So I'm on letrozole, I think, for the next 10 years. I'm on Verzenio for the next 2 or 3 years. I'm on Zoladex, where they actually give me a shot in my stomach to keep my body in menopause for the next 2 years, as long as I haven't removed my ovaries. If I take my ovaries out, then I can omit the Zoladex shot.
So going through all this over these last 3 years, what has been the most normal thing you've wanted back during treatment?
I wanted my body back for so long. So I think a few months ago in my group, Tata Tuesdays, I talked about grief and how it hits you for so many different reasons. Sometimes it's not losing a person, it's just losing a thing, or losing yourself. I know that after the reconstruction surgery where they swapped my expanders for my implants, I expected to get off the table looking and feeling like myself. And it sent me down this whole rabbit hole. I was depressed because I didn't, you know, I kept looking for me. Where have I gone? I told someone it's equivalent to like you're breaking up with yourself at the top of your game when you don't really have any beefs with you. You like how you look. You like how you smell. You like how your clothes fall on you, because for a long time, I couldn't wear my regular clothes. I'm a beach person. I was having breakdowns about trying on bathing suits. Like, those are the things, the parts of my day that I miss. On these medicines, the side effects really can be a lot. The joint pain, the diarrhea, the nausea, the mood adjustments, the sleepiness, and do not forget the hot flashes. And those are the parts of my day that I miss, just feeling like I was in more control of my body. And then the anxiety that comes along with breast cancer, because so many people have it more than one time.
So what has helped you the most to heal and get through everything that you went through and everything that you're currently going through?
Two things have helped me the most. One would be God, and then right behind God is Frida. Frida is my mom. My mom has been the best. She's shown up for every surgery, and I would say 90% of all treatments ever administered to me. Those two things, faith and Frida, those are the two things I needed, and they definitely got me through.
What internally has changed the most for you as you've been going through treatment?
Well, first, I appreciate your question. I have a friend who was run over by a car on 95. And that was the question I had for him too. What internally has changed for you? Because anything traumatic or catastrophic should promote a change. I know that I've become a more patient person. I know I've become a more prayerful person. I know that my faith has strengthened. A lot of the stuff that has changed about me has been internal, not necessarily external. I mean, you got the physical stuff, but the internal changes that has been what has made me, I think, even more beautiful. My insides and my outsides are definitely catching up with each other.
And what would you tell someone who is dealing with cancer currently to help them get through it? And what would you say to a caregiver, a loved one, a family member, as they are watching this loved one of theirs go through the cancer battle?
For the first part, what I would tell them is to keep going. There is an end in sight. You know what I'm saying? Mark your calendar of all of your important days. 3/9 was my double mastectomy. I think September the 8th or 7th, I rung the bell. Keep your own track sheet of when you should celebrate things and make sure that you celebrate them. Live in the moment. Prayerfully, this will never happen to you again. Cancer doesn't necessarily happen to you. Sometimes it happens for you. It's opportunities for you to sit down and to grow your relationship with God. And if that's what your assignment is, make sure you do it, because you know if you don't learn the first time, you're going to get something else again. You know what I mean? They right. Say God speaks in a whisper in a brick. So I'm here for the whisper. I'm here for the whisper. For caregivers, that's a really good question for my mom. I know that she always, when she does her speaking stuff, she always says it's nothing worse than like watching someone suffer that you care about. My mom was in caregiver mode back to back. Before I got diagnosed, my grandmother had caught some type of, can't think of the name of the disease, but it left her incapacitated. Like she could no longer really form sentences because of the brain injury it came with. She couldn't walk, she couldn't talk, she couldn't stand. Everything had to be done. So my mom went from being a 24-month caregiver for her into a 12-month caregiver for me. And I think caregiving is a labor of love. It really is not for everybody. But so to the caregivers, I would say stay strong. My mom said she had to become my biggest cheerleader. She had to see the other side, because honestly, when you're sitting in it, you can't see it. You feel like this is it. Today is the end, and it's not. Keep going.
Well, you guys, this is why I wanted you guys to hear Rhonda's story. She's an incredible, amazing, unbelievable human being. Her Tata Tuesdays is something that I highly promote, and I will give you guys a link to that. And Rhonda, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Thank you so much. Do you mind if I say something about Tata Tuesdays?
Sure.
Oh, great. Okay. So Tata Tuesdays is a labor of love. I started Tata Tuesdays the day after my double mastectomy. I started it because I could not figure out what to expect from the process. So I would go on YouTube and Google, okay, what happens week one of a double mastectomy? And I could maybe find something for the first few days, but not the next week and not the next week. And I wanted to have a page where women could see other women thriving through the process. In Tata Tuesdays, the goal is to link you with your breast friend. Everyone is a her. If you are a survive her, a worry her, a caregive her, a grieve her, a prevent her, whatever you are. You have a place. In Tie-Tie Tuesdays, it's an opportunity for you to connect. And if you are someone that's going through the process, I can pair you with someone else that's already done it. So if you're going to get a double mastectomy with the flap reconstruction, I'm going to put you with someone for that. If you're about to go into your Adriamycin Cetoxin, AKA the Red Devil, I can put you with someone for that. It's all about linking, because our stories are what binds and also what heals us. We've never done this before. Anytime someone tells you that you have breast cancer, you're automatically in a crash course of education. You have to learn what you got. You got to learn as much about it as you can. I don't want to talk to women and they say, I really don't know. No, I want you to know so that you know if you're advocating for yourself the appropriate way. Tie-Tie Tuesdays allows you to do that. You can come on, watch our videos, because we do interviews every other Tuesday, either a support group. You really get to know more about breast cancer, because it does not stop when you ring the bell. This is a lifetime commitment to better health and of education.
You're so awesome. And I appreciate it. And you guys, I will link out to her information. Thank you again, Rhonda, for coming on the podcast.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And you guys, we will see you back here next time.
See you later, breast friends.